join us in Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. One of those familiar texts that has been preached so often and so many times, probably not going to tell you anything you don't already know, but just want to give us some encouragement tonight and to help us understand he's still working on us. And he's not finished with us yet. And we can't quit now. We can't quit now. Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 1 says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." That's something that the Lord just jumped out at me, the word wheels. It's not wheel. It's not one wheel. It's two wheels. It's plural. And we'll tell you more about that here in a little bit. "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." And this is the best part of this whole story. "So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." If you have known me and I've preached here, I've preached on this very subject before and actually dealt with some specifics about how pottery is made and how clay is formed and fashioned. And I was an art major for a couple of years in college before I realized there was a reason why they call them starving artists. And found out I better do something that was going to make some money. And so led into computer engineering. But I've always had a love for art and graphic design, and that's what I do a lot for our ministry and with the website and the church flyers and things like that. It's what I love to do. It's always been a passion of mine. And so I've been able to form and fashion pieces of pottery over the years. And from what I understand and from studying the art of pottery, the actual craftsmanship of pottery hasn't changed from Jeremiah's time to time now. The technology has changed in the fact of the way potter's wheels are made and fashioned, but the technique, the craftsmanship hasn't changed. If you go to a potter in Mexico or in Egypt or in America, they'll follow the same practices and techniques as they do in the Holy Land. In fact, you'll find them, I believe it's in Hebron, correct? Where they have a potter's house and a potter's wheel. And that's one of the, my dad has told me, and Calvin Ray has told me as well, that's one of the most wonderful stops on the trips in the Holy Land is to go to Hebron and see a potter work a vessel on the wheel. And so tonight I want to kind of take you into what Jeremiah was looking at. God said, I want you to go down to the potter's house, and there I'm going to cause you to hear my words. He was wanting him to hear and to see the word of God. This was an allegory. It wasn't a parable. He wanted to show him what was going on, but then tell him how he was wanting to mold and make and to mature the people of Israel. And the same goes for us today. We are clay in his hands, and his ultimate purpose in us is to mold us, to make us, and to mature us in his hands. And so if we look and just take ourselves, if you will, by just imagine in your mind, taking a trip to the potter's house with Jeremiah and seeing what Jeremiah saw. Number one, I want you to notice that God makes life. God makes life. You'll notice there are three specific things in this story that are inside this potter's house. Number one, I want you to notice there is a potter. There is a potter. And of course, we know the allegory here. What does the potter represent? It represents God, that he is the creator of all. And we also know that not only is there the potter, but there is clay. Clay represents the humanity of life. And then also we have the wheels, which I believe represents the circumstances of life. And so if we break these down, I want you to notice, first of all, in God making life, there is a potter. Now there are one similarity to the human potter and to the divine potter. The similarity is this: the human potter and the divine potter both had the ability to touch, shape, wherever, whomever, and however they want at any given time. They have total control over the clay. And as far as that goes, that's where the similarities stop. because the similarities between the human potter and the divine potter is simply this: they are the creator. And may we understand tonight that God, the divine potter, is our creator. From the very beginning, when this world was created, thank God he started a work on the wheels. And that's what I wanted you to notice. It says wheels, that he made a work on the wheels, not just one wheel, but wheels. And you said, why would you bring that out? Because the Lord showed me something in this. If you understand what a potter's wheel is, there's actually two wheels that make up one potter's wheel. There's a wheel on the top, that where the clay is placed, but there's also a wheel on the bottom where the potter controls the wheel by the spinning of its foot. And so the potter controls the speed of how the potter's wheel spins. So there's actually two wheels that actually work one potter's wheel. And doesn't the Bible say that the Lord sitteth on the circle of the earth? That means from the very beginning, he was working on the wheel, and he was constructing and creating this world. And at the end, as he created it, at the end of each day, he said, it is good. And so that's where the similarities stop. But we find many differences. In fact, one difference you'll find from the human potter and the divine potter: the human potter will have flaws. It cannot help but have flaws, because it takes years of practice to develop the skill of pottery. But aren't you thankful the very first thing that God made, everything he touched, he perfected. And when he made it, it was good. Aren't you glad for that tonight, folks? When he made us, he made us with a specific thought in mind. And when he made us, he said, it is good. It is good. Hallelujah. What else do we find? The difference. The difference is that the human potter can only work on one vessel at a time. But the divine potter can work on millions of vessels at one time. Why? Because he's everywhere. And he's got everything in control. What else do we notice the difference? Not only that he can work on multiple vessels, and that everything he touches is perfect, but also I want you to notice this. The human potter didn't make the clay that he is forming, but the divine potter made the clay that he is using. How do you know that? Doesn't the Bible say that God formed man out of the dust of the earth? And what is dust? It is clay. And so that's why he likens the clay to us. It likens it to humanity. Thank God, when we begin this life, he has formed us, he has fashioned us, and we're always in his hands. Aren't you thankful tonight that he doesn't have any flaws? What he does for a purpose. And I'm glad tonight, thank God, hallelujah, I'm thinking I'm in his hands. Glory to God. And also, we not only see the potter, but secondly, we see the clay. Now, we see the clay in the potter's house. We see many different processes of the clay. Now, what you see on the potter's wheel is about halfway through the process. It's about middle of the way, because you don't see where that clay started. See, the potter, it actually goes out into the field and goes out into the muck and the mire and finds the clay that he needs to use. And listen to this now. The best clay is found in the darkest, deepest crevices. The deeper you go, the better the clay. And aren't you thankful tonight? Some of you, he had to reach, as the old songwriter says, reach way below the bottom for me last night. And some of you know what it means to be on the bottom. But aren't you glad that when he brought you up out of that horrible pit and set you on a solid rock and established your going, you became a new creature. We see the clay on the wheel, but we don't know where the clay came from. I'll tell you where we came from. We came from the mire. We came from the mud. But thank God he still saw something in the mud that he said, I can use it, I can form it, and I can fashion it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Of course, the clay represents the humanity, and what he's trying to get over to us is we should want to yield to the touch of the potter. That's what the Lord was trying to tell Jeremiah. Now, the major difference in the clay is this. The clay that's on the wheel at the potter's house that Jeremiah's looking at doesn't jump off the wheel. But us as humanity, we have a tendency to jump off the wheel. And that's my message tonight, is you need to stay on the wheel. I know, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I know sometimes it seems like life is out of control and it's spinning you out of control. This comes and then that comes, and you never know what the next day is gonna, what has gonna happen the next day. But may you understand this: He ain't finished with us yet. Don't jump off the wheel. Let be clay in the hands of the potter. Be moldable, be sensitive, and yield to the touch of the potter. That's what He's trying to tell us. Amen. Sometimes when it comes to the pressures of life, the clay wants to jump off the wheel. But we got to understand, everything He does to us and for us is for a purpose, right? We'll get to that here in a little bit. Not only do we see the potter and the clay, but we see the wheels. As I already told you, the wheels represent the circumstances of life that turn us and spin us. But God uses those circumstances to shape our life and to mold our life the way and He would want it. But have you ever, let me put it this way. How you respond to the circumstances in life will depend on how moldable you are in the hands of the potter. Let me put it this way. A conversation was struck up one day between the rose and between the ground. And the ground said to the rose, "How is it when people walk over you, you give out a sweet smell? But when people walk on me, I just get harder." And the rose said, "Well, it all depends what you're made of." Because He said, when the pressures come, whatever's inside you is going to come out. And when the pressures and the circumstances of life come, how are we going to respond? I guarantee we'll respond by what's on the inside of us. And you'll find in life, especially what we've been through and what we're going to be going through, how you respond will ultimately determine what's on the inside. So when you're pressed out of measure, when you're pressed on, when the pressure is on, when you're spinning around and round, just remember who's on the inside. And when you're pressed out of measure, what's going to come out of you? I tell you what should come out of our heart and out of our life. It should come out a sweet smelling savor unto God. It shouldn't be bitterness. It shouldn't be hardness. No, God didn't intend for these things to cause us to do those things. No, we have to spread the love of Christ. And what's in you will come out. So we see how God makes life, but I want you to notice this. We notice that life is marred as well. The wheels will cause us to go through ups and downs, excitement and depression. One day you'll feel like you can conquer the world. The next day you can't even feel like you can get out of bed. And that's called life. That's called circumstances. That's a part of being on the wheel. And life gets marred. And when life gets marred, so many times we want to try to find somebody or something to blame. So, who do we blame? You know, there's a volcano in Hawaii that's called Kilauea. And recently, just even in last year, they had to close the park because it violently erupted and huge flames were coming out of it. And about the latter part of 2019, they reopened the park. But they wanted to assure people that even though they don't see any fire coming out of the volcano, it doesn't mean it's not active. So if you would have walked over that volcano to overlook and see what was going on, you may not have seen any fire spewing out. Maybe every now and again you would have seen a puff of smoke. But just because you don't see a fire doesn't mean it isn't there. When the pressure's applied, what's underneath's going to come out. And when the circumstances and pressures of life come out, you don't have to. Some of you hide it real well. And every now and again we just see a little puff of smoke. But down deep on the inside, you blame God for the circumstances of life. And you hold it, and you hold it, and it's been up, and the pressure is there. And even though we can't see a fire coming out, every now and again, it comes through with bitterness. It comes through with jealousy. It comes through with stress. There's a fire on the inside when we begin to blame God for the circumstances of life. Folks, we have to understand every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from the Father above. And our attitude should be, Lord, if you take it all away, you've still been better to me than anybody. And you are good. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed breaking bread. As John quoted this morning, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. We have to understand he is good, he is God, and he will take care of the clay. Hallelujah. You can't blame God. You can't blame the potter. Who else they try to blame? They try to blame the wheel. They want to put it on the circumstance because the circumstance can't talk back. So they try to blame the circumstances. They say, well, I was exposed to certain things. That's why who I am. It was my environment. That's why who I am. You can't blame everything on what surrounds you. God has placed us in certain ways, in certain areas of our life to help us to understand. I'm trying to mold you and make you and change the way you look at things. Instead of starting to blame everything around you, why don't you thank God for what you have and learn like the Apostle Paul, whatsoever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what else? There's only one other thing to blame. And that's the clay. And that's where the blame needs to go. Remember what it says. You already know this. It says the vessel that he made was marred. It doesn't say the potter was marred or the potter did anything wrong. It didn't say the wheel malfunctioned. No, it said the vessel that he made was marred. When are we going to understand we must take responsibility for not being moldable in the hands of God? We have to take, the problem is a me problem. I've got a problem. You've got a problem. Everybody do this for me. Say these words. I am the problem. Say it again. I am the problem. God is trying to mold you and make you into what he wants, but the problem is you're marred. And when you understand that and take responsibility, then God says, there, that's what I'm trying to do. Now I can mold you to make you into something that I can see useful. Hallelujah. The clay is to blame. And so if I leave it there, that's a pretty sad sermon, isn't it? But let me finish on a good note. Not only do we see that God makes life, and we see how life is marred, but notice this, we can see how life is mended. The same potter that makes the clay and handles the marred clay is the same one that mends the clay. Somebody say amen. That's good right there. Hallelujah. He can put it back together. Why? Because the potter, listen, if you don't understand this, I think you would by now. There is nothing worse than trying to make something out of clay when the clay isn't working well for you. And the number one ingredient you have to have as a potter is patience. And aren't you glad that God has patience with us? He does. He absolutely does have patience with us. And there, and what he does, I looked up just here recently, and in the manners and customs of the Bible, in the book, they tell us there that they have seen potters that would actually get all the way up and the vessel was almost done and they saw something that they didn't like. And you know what they did? They smashed it down. Right in the middle of the process, when it looked good to the outsider, the potter saw something they didn't like and they smashed it down. Now, most of us would react like I would to things. And I don't mean to point out my wife, but my wife growing up, when she would, I would be around her a lot during when she was in high school and working on essays and when you had to write everything down, you didn't have computers back then. So you had to write everything by hand. And my wife was a perfectionist. She liked her papers to look perfect. And when she'd mess up, if the ink would bleed or a word was wrong or something, instead of starting where she was at, she would tear up the whole paper and start over again. Aren't you thankful that when God gets to that point where he sees a flaw and he knocks it down, he don't say, well, I'll throw it away and go grab something else and try again. No, he takes the same clay that he just broke He takes the same clay that has now been broken and he puts it back on the wheel. Thank God he makes it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And that's the process. Not only is there patience by the potter, but there's a process that it goes through. Once it's finally formed and fashioned, once he sees something that no one else could see, and once he makes it into a vessel that he can use, aren't you glad that then he takes it from there, he sets it out in the sun, and he builds a little fire, and that fire is called a kiln, and inside that kiln is where the vessel gets the fire, and once it goes through the fire, thank God it can be used. It can be useful. Aren't you thankful tonight? I know it seems like it's getting hot. And I know some of you are at a place where you just want to give up. But my friend, let me give you some encouragement tonight. Don't jump off the wheel. Stay on the wheel. He's not finished with us yet. He's not finished with you yet. And if you feel broken, just be moldable and let God make you again. Let him make you again. Another vessel. And see, we just have this process with Jeremiah, but I'm thankful I got the whole book, because God didn't stop creating, did he? John chapter 1 verse 14, and the word was made clay. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The master potter saw a need to have the greatest vessel ever made, and the vessel was pure, the vessel was perfect, and the vessel was without spot and blemish. And I'm glad tonight I took a drink from that vessel. I took a drink from him, and I'm thankful, even though one bone was never broken, I'm thankful he shed his blood. Aren't you thankful tonight, folks, for a perfect Savior, the master potter that's molding and making us after his will. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the, and I am the. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. That should be our prayer.